Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Clea Broadhurst. In a minute, we'll take a look at how video games have become part of the mass media. But first, the role of the media in the French primary elections. There's been a lot of talk and criticism about how the media covered the American elections, but are the media in France any better? This year in France, for the first time, the main right-wing party, Les Républicains, is holding a primary to decide who would be its candidate in next year's presidential election. And there's been a lot of media coverage of it. There were several TV debates and, of course, lots of noise on social media. Arnaud Benedetti is a specialist in communications who works at the Sorbonne University in Paris. He says the way the media work today is a problem.
Le problème, c'est qu'on est confronté aujourd'hui à une circulation massive.
Today, we're facing rapid mass circulation of information. We now need to take into account the need to report every single piece of information and the Internet's reach. There's a sort of acceleration that can provoke a kind of hysteria in the political sphere because it demands a much quicker response on absolutely everything from politicians. Politicians realize that visibility in the media is essential. It's the reason for their very existence, even their political survival. More than anything, this system favors speed over argument. And we're seeing that immediacy is becoming a priority for the media, which is also following this logic. It's a logic that in turn needs to be followed by politicians. So the issue here is not so much the media, but how they work. And that's why we remember the little catchphrases, symbols, poses, much better than the political programs themselves. But you could ask, are the voters really being fooled? Because when we take a look at the primaries, it's the man who resisted this system the most who won over the most voters.
In the United States, Benedetti says that Donald Trump's victory can be explained by several factors, but his use of social media was one of the most important ones.
He has the image of someone who made it, which in American culture is an important factor. But most of all, he relies on social networks. And today, social networks increase the public space because they allow for a broader range of political expression. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they help to bring people to one political side or the other. Social networks will certainly be used, and most of the time when it comes to political activism, they'll reach those people who've already been convinced. However, social networks are formidable tools when they're used to discredit an opponent. And, undeniably, we've seen this happen during the primaries campaign in France. The use of social networks by people opposed to Alain Juppé to discredit some of his positions, to even ridicule them sometimes. So that helped Nicolas Sarkozy get more votes, but mostly François Fillon.
There's another problem, says Benedetti. There are rules in France about giving equal time in the media to all political candidates, but he thinks that maybe these rules need to change so they can adapt to this new media environment.
Aujourd'hui, vous avez une explosion.
There's been an explosion in the number of ways that you can express yourself and make yourself more visible, and all that with a more intense circulation of information within the media. Rules put in place by the French Media Authority, the CSA, no longer apply. These rules are too old. Today we're in the Internet era, meaning information travels further. So this affects how politicians express themselves. Look at how the National Front and Marine Le Pen are approaching television time right now. There's a clear strategy. Very few TV appearances at the moment. That way, by not having too much media coverage right now, Marine Le Pen is saving herself. She intends to have lots of exposure when 2017 comes. In the meantime, the National Front is using social media a lot to get its message across. So the real issue is that today, politicians don't feel the need to develop their political strategy. This is maybe regrettable. Politicians are really interested in how they position themselves within the media. So they're actually losing their political framework.
But the problem for the media is not just that there's too much information. They also need to figure out how to deliver it all.
They're overwhelmed by this brand new system that's way more technical than it used to be. The real challenge will be to catch up. You can see that the media are overwhelmed because they have to face their own competition between print and internet and TV. And on top of that, media outlets are competing with social media that produce information all day long. Whether it's good or not, it's out there anyway. Everyone seems to have become a slave to speed, speed which corrupts the central function of the media, which in turn corrupts the political system. So maybe those who can most resist the need for speed will prevail. And when we look at the result of the first round, with Fillon ahead of everyone, well, that seems to indicate that the politician who was most reluctant to be part of this system might win in the end.
Politicians have always needed the media. But for Arno Benedetti, politicians and their programs are increasingly driven by how the media will present them. And speaking of how powerful the media is in our society today, let's now turn to our other topic for this week's magazine. A lot of people rely quite a lot on their mobile phone, computers, TVs. To sum it up, we rely on screens. Investigative journalist Jérôme Fritel has just released a documentary on how video games have now become mainstream media. It's called Video Games, New Masters of the World.
Today, there's constant competition to win over people's free time, especially the time they spend in front of their screens. We see that video games have ousted cinema. The video games industry now has revenue over $100 billion a year. And today, it's in direct competition with television. How much time do people spend in front of their screens? Well, today, when you look at it, video games take up more of people's screen time than anything else. For example, games that anyone can put on their phone constitute more than half of all revenue for platforms like Apple or Google. So this has clearly become a mass phenomenon, and we should ask ourselves what kind of content and what kind of messages are being conveyed through this new type of media, this 21st century media. I think it's time we took it seriously. We shouldn't disregard it. We need to be a little bit more demanding when it comes to their content.
Video games have come in for criticism in the past, with some people arguing that some games encourage violent behavior. But Fritel says we shouldn't be afraid of them.
Video games don't encourage violence any more than movies, for example. One thing for sure, though, is that some governments have understood it's a major communication tool, especially when addressing young people. They've understood that rather than making a movie, maybe using a video game has a much greater impact. I'm thinking of what the American army did right after 9/11. In order to reach out to a younger audience and recruit new soldiers, they developed a game called American Army, a game that did extremely well. The player could join the army, could chase terrorists, and so on. This game was developed on army bases where they'd usually build weapons or defense programs. But with this, they basically made recruitment software, a strong propaganda tool. So video games are no longer just about having fun. They can be used for propaganda or education as well. Sit-downs between the White House and developers took place, during which they decided it was time to go beyond the boom-boom aspect and make it a bit more educational, create more possibilities.
So younger population may be more receptive to a message if it comes through a video game.
If you want to get young people's attention, it's in your interest to use video games. These are young people who, at 21 years old, have spent on average about 10,000 hours playing video games, the same amount of time spent at school. And it works. They are extremely responsive to this. Then again, you need to develop games that are interesting, fun, and that allow for the discovery of other worlds. So yes, we have to work on the message, the content, and there's room for everyone. But it's a fact that you can reach a wider audience, one that might turn its back on more traditional media.
Fritel says we're facing a media overload today, and some people, young or not young, can be a bit more suspicious of traditional media.
Effectivement, je suis pas le seul à le dire, il y a une crise.
I'm not the only one saying this. I think there's a crisis in traditional media. Now, will video games, which represent a new form of media, will they replace traditional media? I don't think so. I think video games can be complementary to what's already there. Maybe young people trust messages that are conveyed in a video game. Maybe not. We don't have the right perspective right now, to be certain. The one sure thing, though, is that if you want to get the attention of a maximum number of people, you need to have a presence across all platforms, whether it's TV, video games, print, and video games are simply an extra tool when it comes to the media.
Frittel says we need to pay attention to the world of video games. Whether we like it or not, we're going to be more and more reliant on our screens. Because what used to be something for kids, geeks, or teenagers is now mainstream media for us all. This brings us to the end of this week's magazine. Tune in next time for another edition of International Media.